Hello everyone, I'm John Melke and this is Parkside Today. We have the opportunity today to talk with Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call on the challenging topic of human and sex trafficking in Wisconsin. Attorney General Call, welcome to Parkside Today.
Thanks for having me.
First question, how did we get to the point where human trafficking, sex trafficking is the issue that it is today in our state?
One of the things that I think we've seen is that this is actually not a new issue. This is an issue that has been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. But we've seen a growing recognition, both in the public in general and also in the law enforcement community, that often crimes that historically may have been viewed as prostitution crimes are in fact crimes where if you do some further investigation, you realize they're human trafficking offenses and that people who in the past may have been arrested for the crime of prostitution are in fact themselves victims of human trafficking. So I think what we're really seeing is an increased awareness of this issue and the need to take steps that focus on going after the people who are the major wrongdoers here, and that's the traffickers.
Mm-hmm. And so kind of to follow up on that, kind of that increased recognition or awareness, what is the state doing to, I guess, A, make people more aware of the issue and also to help address the issue?
We put out a report recently that gathers some data about the way that law enforcement is responding to human trafficking in Wisconsin, in part because we wanted to see where things stand and in part because the more we draw attention to this issue, the more that people are going to be aware of it and the more that we can do to fight it.
Okay.
And one of the things we saw is that in 2019, when that data was gathered, as compared to 2013, when data had previously been gathered, there was an increasing recognition among law enforcement that this is an issue and that it's an issue that's impacting jurisdictions where the officers who responded, where they're working. So we've got to continue raising recognition among law enforcement and through the public, through public education efforts. And we're engaged in some partnerships. We recently announced a partnership with convenience stores to work to raise awareness. There's also a program called Truckers Against Trafficking. So working with people who are in areas where they are especially likely to see people who are victims of trafficking, people who are who work at places that are near major transportation centers, that can help us identify these offenses and hopefully investigate them more effectively.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the, you talked a little bit about maybe some of the public awareness campaigns. What are some of examples of, this has got to be a state, regional, local law enforcement partnership to address it, I would imagine. What are some of those things that are taking place across the state that involve various law enforcement agencies?
There are a few different things going on. One is at the Department of Justice, we provide training to officers from around the state and making sure that officers are aware that human trafficking may be happening in their community and the steps that they can take to investigate it as effectively as possible is important. At the Department of Justice, we've got a Bureau of for Human Trafficking and Internet Crimes Against Children that specifically focuses on those types of cases. And they often work with law enforcement around the state to investigate cases of human trafficking or cases involving Internet crimes against children. And then we also have an Internet Crimes Against Children task force in the state as well. And that's important, of course, in and of itself as we work to fight those crimes. But it also helps us fight human trafficking because the Internet can be a means that traffickers use to identify potential victims. So fighting online crimes can help us in the fight against human trafficking as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that are there law enforcement agencies or are there areas of the state where maybe the idea that sex trafficking, human trafficking could be going on in their area that it's almost like they're surprised that could be in their area, or is it pretty much accepted that this is statewide?
One of the things we saw in the report that we did is that there's, as I mentioned before, an increased recognition of the existence of human trafficking generally, and that it may be happening where officers work, but there are you know, a lot of respondents indicated that they were not aware of human trafficking in their area. Mm-hmm. And this is a crime that impacts people across the state and across the country, and it happens in large communities, small communities. So it can happen anywhere, and you know, continuing to educate people, both in the public in general and in the law enforcement community about that, is going to be important going forward. We're moving in the right direction and making a lot of progress, but there's certainly more work to be done in making people aware of the prevalence of this crime.
Mm-hmm. And how is the state working with with bordering states? Because obviously it's not just happening in Wisconsin, but whether it's Illinois, Minnesota, Michigan, what are some of those initiatives? What does that look like?
Yeah, a lot of the cooperation happens at the federal level as federal investigative agencies work on cases that cross state lines. But also, you know, different law enforcement agencies, including the agencies across state lines, work together in a number of different capacities. This is a crime where people are mobile, and you know, the use of the interstate system is definitely part of the crime.
Mm-hmm.
It's different from, say, drug trafficking, where there's a clear path that drugs follow when they're imported into, you know, the state of Wisconsin or brought into the state.
Mm-hmm.
This is a crime that may often be one that's happens entirely within, you know, a particular state or a particular area within a state in a given case. So sometimes it's just a matter of making sure that we are within Wisconsin, working together with other law enforcement agencies. But one of the things that's a real benefit to law enforcement in Wisconsin is that we've got really strong relationships among law enforcement agencies here and with agencies elsewhere, and working together to investigate these cases where they exist is an important part of fighting this crime.
Mm-hmm. And is probably a naive question, but are the drugs and the sex trafficking tied together?
They can be, yes. One of the things that traffickers do as they identify victims is they target individuals who they think may be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And that can be for any number of reasons. It could be that somebody has, strained relationships with family and friends, and so they can be isolated relatively easily.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that somebody is struggling with a substance abuse issue and that the trafficker is involved in supplying drugs, for example.
Mm-hmm.
People who are involved in trafficking are in many cases involved in other crimes, including drug trafficking. It's one of the reasons we have trouble determining exactly how widespread this problem is, because often it doesn't happen in isolation, and so you may have cases where somebody's involved in human trafficking, but they end up being prosecuted for drug trafficking because that's the crime where the evidence is the strongest or it's most easy to solve the case.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a crime we know is associated with other criminal activity.
And how does someone who how do you spot it? If you're in the community and you believe that you may not know anyone who's involved in it or been heard of something, are there any telltale signs where you go, oh, if you see this or if you see that people are able to get in touch with law enforcement?
Yeah, there are a few things that people can look for. I mean, first, I encourage people to go online and you can find information on our website for the Wisconsin Department of Justice and learn more about the issue. But traffickers engage in activity to, as I said, bring people who they believe are vulnerable into the trafficking system. And they do that by showering attention on people or providing them with gifts to try to bring them in, and also then to isolate them from other people they know. So if somebody sees that kind of activity going on, that's a sign.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that we want to make sure that people who are at places like convenience stores or in the trucking industry, one thing we want them to look for is things that are really out of the ordinary. If they see that the same two people meet up at a gas station, you know, every Thursday and don't go into the gas station, if they see something out of the ordinary like that really mm-hmm. makes them take notice, we're encouraging folks to contact law enforcement, let them know about what they're seeing, and then further investigation, if it's appropriate, can happen.
We've been talking with Attorney General Josh Call and talking about the issue, and unfortunately maybe growing issue, of human trafficking, sex trafficking in our state. Josh, thank you again for the time today, and I wish you and your team members and law enforcement across the state success with addressing the issue.
Thank you.
Now we're going to talk with UW-Parkside Police Officer Kelly Andrichek to get an idea of what efforts are going on more at the local level here in southeastern Wisconsin regarding the issues around human trafficking and sex trafficking. Officer Andrichek, Kelly, thank you for taking time to talk with us on Parkside today.
You're most welcome.
So how does after we talked with Attorney General Josh Call, how does the local effort to combat human trafficking, sex trafficking, align with state initiatives?
So as far as like Kenosha and Racine, southeastern corner of the state, mm-hmm. We are doing a lot of educational aspects to define what human trafficking is. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have misconceptions about what human trafficking is. And what we are seeing is the more that we educate, the more people are recognizing situations that they didn't look at as human trafficking. Now they're seeing them as human trafficking, mm-hmm. and responding as such.
So give me some examples of what the misconceptions might be and what some of the awareness training looks like.
So misconceptions would be, we don't live in a border state, so therefore it's not happening by us. Mm-hmm. Sex trafficking is the same as prostitution. It is not. They are very different things. That it's not happening, that it only happens to females, it only happens to runaways, it only happens to homeless people, or it only happens to drug addicted people, and that's just not accurate. Mm-hmm. What we're actually seeing a lot of in our area is a lot of teenagers, high schoolers. The Fight to End Exploitation in Racine has identified students who are being trafficked in every single high school in Kenosha and Racine.
Wow.
Yeah. So the impact is, it looks a little bit different sometimes. It's called sextorting. So it's like extorting, but getting explicit pictures or threatening with explicit pictures. So if I'm in a video chat with you on Snapchat or just a normal video chat, the person who I'm speaking with takes my head and superimposes it and onto compromising positions and then threatens me.
Oh my gosh.
Says, if you don't do this, I'm going to let your whole school know you did this. And even though I know I didn't do it, that's a real threat, right?
Yeah.
So we have, that is usually for people who don't have a lot of money, minors. It's very easy for minors to fall into that because of that threat of, I'm going to tell your teachers, or I'm going to show your parents. And students, a lot of times younger people put all of their information out on social media. So it's very easy for predators to come in and manipulate people like that.
Wow.
And then, of course, I-94 is a huge, area. Truckers, we're doing a lot of educational aspects, training truckers on what to watch for and how to pay attention to females being brought to the truck stops and paying attention to people moving from one truck to the other, or somebody dropping a person off and then waiting for them to get back into their car and leave. So, hotels. Hotels are a big issue as well. So, we're trying to educate. We're trying to educate schools. We're trying to educate. I teach the cadets at Gateway Tech for the Law Enforcement Academy. This is not in the normal curriculum. So I do a hour and a half presentation for them and try to just let them have the ability to see what that looks like, see what trafficking looks like, so they can recognize it better when they're on patrol and they start learning.
Yeah, so it's something that someone may think of, oh, I think I understand what this is about, but it may be completely different than that and have a number of different facets and aspects to it.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. So we've had, after I do trainings, people usually come up to me and are like, I know something like this happened to me and I didn't recognize it as trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a student here at Parkside who after hearing the training recognized that when she was at a Quick Trip, she was gassing her car and somebody, a very older white gentleman, was with a very young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And it was definitely not dad-daughter, grandfather-daughter. It was, they were connected and she was trying to get the information from our student. And our student was recognizing as like, this, something is not right here.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she tried to get the student to come to Parkside so she could try to get her away from this guy.
Yeah.
He shut her down immediately and they left.
Wow.
So it didn't occur to her at that point. And then all of a sudden, once she understands what actually trafficking is,
mm-hmm.
you know, including that force, fraud, or coercion, it doesn't always look like the poor female dirtied up and chained to the basement radiator on a
mm-hmm.
dirty mattress.
Mm-hmm.
I think we do a disservice to people, to the victims, actually, when we portray it that way. And that's what people are looking for. Or they're looking for a semi-truck full of, you know, human beings.
Yeah.
Who, yeah. Yes, that's included. But if that's what you're looking for, you're missing all of the trafficking victims that are right in front of you that don't appear like you're assuming.
Wow. How I asked this question of the Attorney General, and I'll wait to hear your answer as well. But how does the state get to the point we're at with the issue of human trafficking and sex trafficking? Or has it always been there and there's maybe more awareness to the issue and the challenge and the problem today than before?
So it's always been there. And when you talk about the difference between prostitution versus human trafficking, right? If I'm going to prostitute myself and I'm going to get the money from it, then I'm prostituting myself.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not getting the spoils from my labors,
yeah.
that's trafficking.
Yeah.
So there's the movement towards being trauma informed, right? Those are hot button words for sexual assault, domestic violence, and human trafficking. Trauma informed.
And explain trauma informed.
So trauma informed is understanding that when somebody goes through a trauma, whether it's real or perceived,
mm-hmm.
That person reacts differently. They don't necessarily react the way we think they should react.
Mm-hmm.
Or for instance, somebody is manipulated into doing this, into selling their bodies, and or drug addicted.
Mm-hmm.
The traffickers will make sure that the victims are drug addicted,
mm-hmm.
so that they rely on them for their drugs and will do whatever
yeah.
the pimp says
yeah.
in order to, you know, facilitate that
yeah.
habit. So we go in these raids, and now that we as law enforcement and prosecutors are learning that we have to train, we have to teach these, we have to treat these people differently because they have been traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
So throwing them in jail is not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
not that our response was incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we're going through and learning that in different areas of how we are dealing with human beings in a traumatic experience, now we're recognizing these people who are being trafficked, boys, girls, men, women, they're not, they appear to be, you know, I'm doing this because I want to be. But when you actually kind of peel back those layers of trauma, they don't have a choice, or they feel they don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we on the outside look at that and say, yes, you did. You had a choice. You could have left if you wanted to.
Yeah.
They opened the door. You chose not to walk through it.
Yeah.
But what we're understanding is that it wasn't a choice that they were able to make at that time for various different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that is just new. It's something that's been happening for quite a long time. We just have not been recognizing it for what it actually yeah. is.
And that was the Attorney General's answer or kind of paraphrasing his answer, but
mm-hmm.
that same type of thing. What about from the at more of the local regional level here, what are some of your biggest challenges in law enforcement in trying to address or combat or fight this issue?
So I think, first of all, the case law. I think the case law is case law is always reactionary. It's not proactive, it's reactive. So the more cases that we are putting into the court system, the more case law we will end up creating. But there isn't a lot there right now. It's very general right now.
Okay.
So that's problem number one. Problem number two is getting our juries to believe what human trafficking is and what that trauma response looks like, and not judging the victim as to what they did in the middle of that trauma, even if that trauma spans 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And what the other thing that we learn about trauma is that it your trauma response is affected by what your prior trauma is, right? So if you're on trial for X and you've had prior trauma, that's not always something that the jury knows or goes into,
okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but it absolutely affects how you reacted to the situation. So explaining that to a jury and then the case law is huge as well.
Mm-hmm.
The third aspect that makes these cases very difficult is they're very similar to domestic violence in that the victim does not, they usually see helpers 7 to 8 times before they actually, first of all, before we recognize it as human trafficking.
Uh-huh.
It masks itself as drug addiction or sexually transmitted infections, going rehab, all those different things that these people are trying to seek help with, that it appears as one thing, but really if we should dive down and realize what it's actually happening. So it takes a while for them to accept our help. Just like in a DV, a lot of times the victim will not accept our help immediately. And we just have to keep saying, when you're ready, we're here.
Yeah.
When you're ready, we're here. And you can't judge them because there's so many different factors. You know, if it's monetary, if you think about somebody who's being sex trafficked, they don't have a home. They have nothing. So for me to say, I can help you, I will take you out of that situation and I will help you.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to take them out of that situation. I get to go home at night. I'm not taking that person home with me.
Yeah.
That person now, no money. Maybe they left a child or children behind. They have no place to live. They don't have any work history. You know, now what did I do? How did that help them? It didn't.
Yeah.
Right? So I want to help them, but that's not really helping them. So there's a lot of reasons why somebody would refuse my help and be like, nope, I'm good. Please don't.
Yeah.
You're going to hurt the situation if you come in and try to fix it. And you have to just be aware of that and ready to help them when they are ready to receive the help. And that's really hard to do. That's really hard for the public to understand, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say, well, if you really wanted the help, you should have, the officer asked you if you wanted to, you could have escaped, you could have done this, and to wrap your head around all the different reasons why that person may not have been able to do that, whether it's physical, whether it's fear, whether it's being coerced, whether it's blackmailed, whatever those multiple reasons are.
Yeah.
It's difficult for human beings to wrap their head around why somebody would not take the opportunity to have somebody else help them and leave the situation.
Yeah, that's extremely interesting. You know, that and from a personal standpoint, the what I'm learning here in the last 10 minutes is a lot, and certainly thank you for that. We're talking with UW Parkside Police Officer Kelly Andrichik, and we're talking about the subject of human trafficking and sex trafficking, which is unfortunately a topic that is being talked about, or maybe it's fortunate that it's being talked about more.
I think it is fortunate.
State.
I really do. I think it is. I've trained a couple of different places, and I get that question. I get the question of why all of a sudden is this the hot button? Why all of a sudden is everybody talking about this?
Mm-hmm.
Doing that explanation of we're just recognizing it differently than we used to. It's not new.
Yeah.
It's not something that is all of a sudden happening.
Yeah. What about, and you kind of started to touch on it a little bit with that kind of that dynamic of, I'm here to help as a law enforcement officer, and being able to understand why that person may not go, great, I'm glad you're here, help me.
Right.
And maybe the timing isn't right. But what advice or guidance do you have for, you know, for people who may think that a friend or family member is involved in something that they think is not in their best interest? Or what is some of your advice and guidance for people themselves who may feel like they're in that type of a situation?
So law enforcement does not always have to get involved. Of course, I like to get the bad guy, right? But that's mm-hmm. not necessarily the only way that person can get help. Mm. So reaching out to the Polaris Project.
What is that?
Polaris Project is a national organization that aggressively addresses human trafficking.
Okay.
It's spelled just like it sounds, polarisproject.org. Any of the Kenosha County has a anti-human trafficking task force. Racine has Fight to End Exploitation. Just Google.
Yeah.
There are quite a few 501(c) options around Kenosha and Racine that do not involve law enforcement. Law enforcement is not the only way you have to get help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So sometimes that might look like a safe house,
mm-hmm.
the Selah Freedom House opening up in Kenosha. So they are a national organization as well,
mm-hmm.
and they are working on housing. They have about 18 beds,
mm-hmm.
so housing people and bridging that gap of, hi, I'm a cop and I want to help you, but then I go home at the end of my shift and now what do you do?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to lock a victim up in jail because that's traumatic in and of itself when I'm trying to help them. So now what do I do? Yeah. And the other thing, the Milwaukee has a couple of attorneys who are willing to work with human trafficking victims. They're very trained on the subject, and of course, they're working pro bono to go to court and stand up for these victims, because when you don't have anything, and I've now, you know, you've left the situation and you don't have anything,
mm-hmm.
nobody has money to hire a lawyer you know, to get out of things, right?
Right. Right.
So it's not always law enforcement that has to get involved. But even if you don't want us to do anything, but you're letting us know what's happening, mm-hmm. and you're willing to talk to us, but you don't want us to go do something, that gives us a little bit of an arsenal in the future. And putting, you know, different things together, we have no problem if somebody in a an area of houses or community see something, call the PD.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to call you back and say, look, here's what we did. Mm-hmm. You're never going to find out.
Yeah.
Chances are we either already know,
right.
and we're watching, and that's one more person who's verified that for us, or that's a new one. That's a new license plate in front of that house.
Mm.
We are watching that house. We are watching that block.
Mm-hmm.
These are not one house incidences.
Yeah.
And the other big thing that is now happening in human trafficking is that your assumption of where are the brothels, where, you know, and you can take a look at those geographically in cities.
Mm.
That's no longer accurate. It's the nicer homes.
Mm.
It's the
mm-hmm.
gated communities, because nobody talks to each other in larger homes. The bigger your home is, the better, you know, the less people talk to each other.
Yeah.
So I don't care how you're making your money, and it's none of my business, and I'm just going to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's much safer for pimps to have nicer homes but they certainly make enough money. It's about an average of $1,000 a day.
Wow.
And they usually have 10 to 12 people that they are pimping out at any given moment. So that's pure cash.
Yeah.
And they work 7 days a week. They don't get weekends off.
Yeah, yeah. Tax-free
cash. Right, right. Tax-free cash.
Tax-free cash, yeah.
Yep.
Two questions as we wrap up here. First question, do you feel as a law enforcement officer that are you making progress? Are you winning the battle? First question. And then the second question is, do you you know, do you see more of a, or do you see, and maybe they're the same question, do you see a rise, an increase in the number of cases that you're dealing with, a number of issues that you have to deal with?
So, yes, I think it's working. And I say that because I have more students coming. And so after I present something or I train, they're like, they're coming being like, I saw this, I did this. They're knowing where to say something. They're knowing where to report. And they're recognizing it. That's the biggest thing is you can't recognize something if you don't know what it is.
Right.
So I
right.
think that that's working.
Yeah.
The increase in cases, we are now hearing that they are in court, which is a step above what it was a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. So the attorneys are feeling more confident in their training to go forward with the cases to help, victims of trafficking, labor trafficking as well. Mm-hmm. End It movement. We are pairing with them, the Fight to End Exploitation from Racine. We are pairing for them to prep for the DNC in
right.
July.
Right.
Every time a large event like that happens, we have to. So we are prepping ahead of time instead of waiting till afterwards and being like, wow, we really had a lot of trafficking increase in that
yeah.
aspect. So prepping ahead and really, really teaching people on what to look for and then giving them the resources of where to go. And because we are seeing cases in court, that means somebody's saying something.
Yeah.
Right? So it is working. The educational aspect is working. It's going to be slow.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that everybody wakes up one day and is like, oh, now I get it. And unless you're in these types of situations where you have the ability to listen to somebody teach about it, you know, John Doe is not necessarily in a position to have somebody come and train them on human trafficking.
Yeah.
But I do see that it's working.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's slow, but look at how far we've come with sexual assault and domestic violence
right.
awareness and understanding, you know, why people don't leave or why whatever. We've come a long way and that's one of the situations where social media hurts and helps, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a double-edged sword with social media. It's much easier to reach people
yeah.
with social media and
yeah.
trick them, but
yeah.
it's also much better for awareness.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, thank you very much. Appreciate the time. We've been talking with UW-Parkside Police Officer Kelly Andrichik, and prior to our conversation with Kelly on this edition of Parkside Today, we talked with Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Cole on the subject of human trafficking and sex trafficking in the state. Very interesting discussion and certainly an important topic for people throughout the state to be aware of. Kelly, thank you very much for
being on
Parkside
Today. You're very
welcome. My pleasure. Today. To hear past editions of Parkside Today, please go to uwp.edu/parksidetoday. Thanks for listening, everyone.